Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Glad to be back. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day, Rochester. I hope you're doing well. I'm sipping some coffee. It's been a while. Man, shit, what's going on, people? All right, let me get started. As usual, off the top, let me take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for tuning in, downloading, streaming. However you listen, I appreciate it. So please tell a friend, coworker, enemy, lover, ex-lover, current lover, side piece, whoever. All right. Fling. Is it spring? Is it spring? No, this is still. Is this? I don't know what we're in. Whatever. You know, let them know. Let them know about the podcast. Have sex tonight. And then listen to my podcast. Actually, listen to my podcast during the bang. Yes. What is that? What am I looking for? The word I'm looking for. I know coitus is one. I want, while you're in coitus, listen to this podcast. You can listen to my fucking dry, nasally voice that I hate. That'll keep you hard. Listening to my monotone bullshit. There you go. You're stroking her right. Yeah, pull her hair. There you go. All right. I guess, I'll start off how I always do. I'll start off with my milestone. Oh, shit, let me go back. So, please, yeah, like I said, just tell somebody. I appreciate everyone listening. Any new listeners, I appreciate it. Tell your friends. Tell somebody. Help me out here. And I see an uptick in the numbers, and I really appreciate it. All right. So, I'll start with my milestone as I usually do. For those who don't know, I have a 7-year-old son named Miles. We have a 7-year-old son named Miles. And I kind of like to just talk about the different things that are going on in his life. Sometimes it's major, sometimes it's really just simple shit. I spoke last week about how we were at a crossroad with his ADHD and, you know, we were thinking about a very low dose of medication, and this is the first week that we've done that. Hopefully my wife doesn't get pissed at me for talking about it, but I think some people would like to hear it, or they're going through the same thing. But we've given a low dose of an ADHD medication, and I gotta be honest, it seems to be working right now. The first couple of days he kind of complained about a little bit of a stomach ache, and a couple of days he had a headache. So we've contacted the nurse's line and all that kind of stuff. But as of right now, there's no major concerns. And he just had a weird week. So he really hasn't been in school all day. But when he's been home and he's on his meds, man, he is really focused. He's not a zombie at all. He's just not as wired. But he, you can tell he still has the desire to want to learn and do things. It's just his body is just not as active. So, but when he's off of it, man, it's just like he's been storing up all day. And nighttime can be a little tough with him trying to get him to control his body. But he likes it. We sat down and we talked to him about it. He'd read about it. And he says he likes taking the pill. Because he was just tired of being, you know, talked to and having to sit next to the teacher and being a distraction. You know, it was starting to bother him. So, and it feels good that he's on board with it, and we don't feel like our son is losing any of his sparkle or his uniqueness. So, yeah, man. So we'll see how it goes. I don't know how many people are really interested, but if you're kind of in the same situation, just email me at negropleaseradio@gmail.com if you want to talk more about it or find out which medication he's actually on. So, yeah, I'm kind of trying to tread lightly here. I don't want my wife to get pissed with me basically saying a little too much about our personal lives, especially when it comes to our son and his medical history. But I'm sure she'll be okay with it. But yeah, just so I don't get my fucking balls chopped off, if you want to know more exactly what he's taking, if you want to email me or something, hit me up on Facebook, and you know, or if you have any experiences with your kids what's funny, man, is it's like I'm at the age now where like the younger guys that I hang out with comedy wise, they were part of that whole like that big ADH group, you know, back in the day, you know, where kids were on Ritalin and Adderall and stuff, and that's where that whole stereotype of kids just turning into zombies or just sleeping in class kind of came from. And I've had a couple of my friends tell me about their experiences and the evolution that they went through and what worked for them and all that kind of stuff. So that's been very, very helpful, is getting my younger yet adult friends that experienced this whole thing as a child, giving me their perspective on it, you know, because my son, he's 7, so he can't really verbally express exactly how he feels. But listening to some of my buddies who, you know, in their mid to late 20s talk about their experiences on these different meds really helps me out a lot. And a shout out to my wife, man. She's done so much research, and she's been in all these Facebook groups and all these, you know, just help groups and reading articles and all this kind of stuff, man. I really fucking, man, you talk about having a great partner and a wife and a spouse. I got very, you know what? I don't like to say I'm lucky. I feel like I've earned my wife, but I am very fortunate and thankful to have such a great wife who cares about our son and, you know, does whatever she can to make sure that he's getting the best. You know, I do what I can, but we both have our strengths and our weaknesses, and she definitely fills those gaps of where I'm weak, and hopefully I do the same for her. But yeah, so that's what's going on with him. Sorry that took a while, but it's an odd thing to go through, man. It's just especially when you've kind of railed against that kind of stuff for years, and I've made comments to people over the years about you know, the meds and the ADHD, and that was me, you know, maybe not even a year ago. Just like, he just needs this. But when you see the positive effects of you know, a little bit of medication, you go, man, I was a little harsh, you know, a little harsh, and I had to walk my words back a little bit. So that's what we've been dealing with. But sorry that was so long. I try not to make the whole pod about him, but it's kind of an important situation in our lives right now. And I was just thinking about a buddy of mine. His name is Rich Malfair. Years ago, over 20 years ago, my cousin gave him a nickname and it stuck. That's so weird, and they've never met. It was like 96, it was winter break. Rich called the house and go, hey, we don't have basketball practice, it's canceled. I'm from upstate New York, the storm was like crazy, so they canceled practice. And my cousin was staying at the house that weekend. He was just like, who is that? I go, oh, Rich Mulfair. He said basketball practice was canceled. And he goes, Dick Ballhair? I go, what? He goes, his name's Dick Ballhair? I go, no, Rich Mulfair. He goes, oh, I thought you said Dick Ballhair. And when you're 16, that's like the funniest shit in the world. I told my whole basketball team, and dude, we're 40 years old, and it sticks. Whenever we all get together, in those rare occasions, people, we still call him Dick Ballhair. I can't wait for them to finally meet, and so Rich can beat the shit out of him for giving him that nickname. Yeah. It was high school, people find out in college, and it's just fucking hilarious that they've never met, and he gave this guy a nickname that will be with them for the rest of his life. I don't know what made me think of that. I have no idea. But man, I said the other day, Kobe, you know, we talked about Kobe's death on the last podcast, and for years, man, I would say almost a full decade, I've just been out of the NBA. Growing up, early 20s, up until when I started really doing comedy more, that I was an NBA fiend, a basketball fiend, college, pro, you know, just, I loved it, man. I knew everybody. I knew what college everybody came from, and life got busy, and I just kind of got out of it, and I would try from here and there to watch, and I just couldn't, man. But since he passed away, I've rediscovered my love of the game, and I've been watching it a lot more, and it's changed so much, and it's just weird because I'm watching these guys play, and I'm like, he's good, but I don't know how good he is. I wish I had someone who could sit here and watch the game with me and just tell me, like, who this guy is, who this guy would be in, like, 1997 or, like, the early 2000s. I need to know, like, is this dude the Wally Szczerbiak equivalent? Or he's like, this dude's the Vincent Askew of this team. I need to know. I have no idea. But I really enjoy watching basketball again. And, man, I really, I think I'm a little happier. Because before, I just couldn't do it. I don't know what it was. But, yeah, I just, thinking about him and his life and all the hours I spent watching them playing the playoffs and all those great games, I was like, man, I really enjoyed this. And I had to, you know, just kind of take a breath and relax and go, you know what, you're not missing anything else. Just put the phone down, put it upstairs, put it on the charger, and watch the game. And I've done that over the last couple of weeks. And, yeah, I'm back, baby. Don't get me wrong. I'm still in love with soccer. That's my new baby. But I'm back. I'm back with the NBA, and it's gonna take a while to learn everybody again. But yeah, it's just kind of weird to seeing what teams are good now, and you know, there's probably like three guys that are still playing from when I was really into it. LeBron, Carmelo, and Vince Carter. And I'm trying to think if there's a couple, Dwight Howard, there's a few more, maybe 10 or 12 guys. And it's just odd when you recognize more of the coaching staff than you do the players playing. And, yeah, it's just weird because I remember when I was, like, 17 and watching games with my dad. My dad would go, I don't know who any of these guys are. I used to be like, how do you not know these guys? Because my dad life kind of happened. You know, he knew all the dudes in the 70s and 80s. And when the late 90s kind of rolled around, he just wasn't into it as much. I think he probably quit watching after Jordan retired. But I remember growing up, you know, he was a big Lakers fan and all that kind of stuff. The Celtics. Yeah, my dad came up in the he was an 80s league guy. When that shit was fucking grown-ass men who still had other jobs smoking cigarettes on the court. I mean, in the stadium. You ever see those videos of the old Boston Garden? It looked like a goddamn monster truck rally. When they panned the camera, it was so much smoke and shit in there. You're supposed to have the best athletes in the world running up and down the court, and the coach has a goddamn cigar the size of a Christmas tree lit on the bench. That's wild. But, yeah, I'm back. I'm trying to make this one less controversial because I got to record, too. And the second one, man, I think I'm really going to go in on a lot of shit. I'm trying to be a little bit more positive and talk about more positive things on this episode. But, yeah, I'm back with the basketball. And I'm loving it. And that's all due to Kobe, man. You know? God, that was my dude, man. Whew. Can't believe it. He's gone. Fucking Kobe Bryant is gone. That is so hard to believe. Like, I was watching the game last night, and they were like, oh, yeah, this hasn't been done. You know, Kobe Bryant was the first guy to do it as a Laker. And I'm like, damn. Like, 3 weeks ago, that was just a regular statement. Oh, yeah, Kobe. Now it's just like, yeah, man, he is no longer. It's still really hard to wrap my head around, even though I never met the guy. So odd. So very, very odd. But I got to move on from it because I will get sad again just thinking about it, man. I really will. So, you know what? I guess I will bring some shit up. I just, dude, I gotta be honest, man. I am terrified for our country, man. I really am. It's just, I have not seen people is this pissed off and just divided in my entire life. But I, you know what? It would be interesting. Because I can't even imagine how insane things would be if the OJ trial was going on today. And if people were kind of allowed to still say the things that they were allowed to say back then, now. Because you're talking, what, 94, 95? It would just be very, very interesting to see how just insanely divided and just racially angry everyone would be if we had social media during the OJ trial and during the verdict. It would be nuts to see that shit. It's weird now because, like, it's just like back in the day, people would be like, man, I wish we could see Ali fight Tyson. And they still do. But now it's like we have this different thing of, like, we can say, like, man, it would be interesting to see how things would unfold with show, you know, certain current events or social events that that happened back in the day, how those would unfold if social media was around back then. It's like a whole different type of what if game, if you will, or a way to ponder. It would be very, very interesting to see, because I just remember not really giving a shit when I was 14 about the whole case, but I just knew it wasn't good, and I knew, like, black people didn't want him to be guilty, and white people wanted that motherfucker so bad. Like, I didn't realize at the time, like just the little nuances about it. Like, I went to a predominantly white private Catholic school growing up, and there was a handful of black kids, and I don't think we really thought about it as much. I guess because we weren't bombarded with it all day like we can now. Like, if in high school now, you can just get on Facebook or Twitter and just, y'all can talk about the shit. But I don't remember us even talking about that shit in high school. The one thing we would do, we knew adults were into it, so if we didn't want to learn, we would go, man, what do y'all think about this OJ trial? And the teachers would just start going on these just rants about what they thought about it. And we would go, cool, we're not learning about fucking world history today. We got Mr. Oberst off topic. And next thing you know, we're out of class. Boom. Because they just went off on the OJ trial. Yeah, very odd. Very, very. I think the Trayvon Martin thing would probably be the closest, because, and this, dude, that's even crazy. It was like, I couldn't imagine even that happening right now with all the other stuff that's going on. I think it would be even more wild, because it was crazy with that shit, how upset people were. So it was odd. And like this, it's weird how things play out. Because you had Kobe Bryant pass away, right? And there were some, disgruntled people and some strong opinions on each side. And then, like a week later, Rush Limbaugh announces that he has lung cancer, like stage 4. Because I remember thinking, like, when the Kobe news broke and I saw all the people going back and forth, it was getting racially heated for some people. And I was just like, I wonder what white person could die or something tragic happened to them and it flipped this scenario. And perfect is the wrong word to use, because it sounds like I'm endorsing or I'm glad that he's sick or whatever. But Rush Limbaugh is almost the perfect person to have something happen to, because his track record. And look, yeah, it's not cool. for people on one hand to want to make these to get mad at people for Kobe jokes, and then a week later turn around and go, "Hey, thank God, Rush Limbaugh has lung cancer because he's a piece of shit." Now, while I am not a fan of Mr. Limbaugh in any way, shape, or form, he says a lot of awful and terrible things about my people in particular that I just, again, I would never wish cancer on anybody. I think it's awful, but I'm not a fan of him. So that's why I never said anything about it. You know, like Rush Limbaugh does not need me to feel bad for him. That dude has made millions of dollars without me. He has millions of fans. He has friends. He has family that love him. He doesn't need my well wishes. And again, would not wish cancer on anybody. It's got to be a horrible way to die. It's got to be devastating to get that type of news. But I could care less about that man. And yeah, I'm pretty sure, you know, when the time comes for him, he'll have, you know, plenty of people mourning his death. But I will say, Chris Allen would not be one of those people. And I wouldn't be happy that he passed away, but I definitely would not be sad either. So he's had no impact in my life at all. So that's my opinion of him. I'm not going to speak any, you know, ill will or anything on him. But yeah, he's not going to get any sympathy from me. But again, would not wish cancer on anyone. But yeah, man, he made his bed, and I could honestly say the same thing about Kobe Bryant. And I understand where people are coming from. You know, you got to ask yourself, what's worse, saying racist shit, or actually being accused of a sexual assault and physically, you know, and mentally damaging someone for the rest of their lives. So you got to kind of weigh both. I'm not saying that either of these guys are saints. Everyone makes mistakes. And all I will say about Mr. Limbaugh is, like, most good people, when they're going through something like this, you know, when they've been told, hey, you got something terminal, you don't have much time left, I think most rational, good people use that time to do some soul searching and do some digging when they hear, like, hey, your time on the planet with the people that you love, everything that you ever knew, is coming to an end shortly. And if you can't find it within yourself to go, you know what, maybe I've said some things in the past that it was a little harsh, insensitive to certain people, and I, you know what, I would like to apologize. And then I would go, you know what, I respect that. You know, we get caught up in our lives. We feel like we start feeling ourselves. And I get people are passionate about politics and whatnot. And, you know, you become a character, and you want to say things to get ratings and all that kind of, and it's like, I get that. And if you can't find it within yourself to apologize for some of the things you've said, and you know over your lifetime, I can't have any sympathy for you. But I also have to respect the fact that, like, you know what, I'm not apologizing because I meant those things. I also respect that. So it's just like, hey, he meant it. He's not going to apologize. He doesn't feel bad. Therefore, I will not and cannot feel bad for his terrible diagnosis. So, all right, there's a show. That's the show. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. That's it. See you later. Peace out. Coming right back at you with another ep. Holla at you, boy.